This episode of Smartless is brought to you in part by Skinny Pop Popcorn, which, yes, is exactly what we were inhaling backstage at the live show.
True story. There is something very satisfying about a snack that actually delivers and doesn't come with a paragraph of ingredients.
Skinny Pop keeps it simple. Real ingredients, classic popcorn, nothing weird, nothing you have to Google.
The original is light and airy, but still hits the spot. And if you want to mix it up, they got white cheddar, butter, sweet and salty kettle.
It's one of those snacks that works for anything. Watching something, traveling, pretending you're only going to have a handful.
Skinny Pop. Deliciously popped, perfectly salted, popular for a reason. This episode of Smartless is sponsored by Ashley,
yep,
the brand that helped turn our live event stage into a fully styled living space.
And it's not just about looks. Their stuff is built to hold up to the real life with durable materials and easy to clean fabrics.
For the live show, we were on their Mod Max sofa. It's modular, so you can kind of move it around however you want,
there
depending on
name,
your space.
Sure,
yeah. Honestly, that setup worked perfectly for the show.
I'm not kidding. I would have taken that whole setup home. It looked great. Felt very comfortable, you know?
Really did feel like we were just hanging out in someone's living room.
Ashley is all about style that's made for real life with white glove delivery right to your room of choice.
Visit your local Ashley store or head to ashley.com to find your style.
Smartless Live at the Avalon, Hollywood.
We're all
pathetic. Did
sorry,
you see the way
sorry.
He tried to come out last
no,
and make
no, no,
some
no, no,
big
no.
entrance?
No.
What
no,
happened?
No. I got caught up back there. Anyway, hey, I'm here now.
Hey.
Hi.
Welcome, Philadelphia, Los Angeles.
One more crack at it. Let him have one more crack.
Guys, we're so excited we're here, and thank you for coming out tonight. This is very exciting for us.
Yeah.
I gave Sean a big smack across the face right before we came out,
and I'm
just waiting for him to hit me back. So just pardon me if I'm over here.
It was so loud, I can't believe you heard
it's
it.
It's a little bit red over here.
I'm sure it is.
It's become okay. Kind of a tradition
there we
before.
Go. This is how we'll do it. We'll do it. No. This is how we'll do it. We'll just keep him in a clinch.
It was so fucking hard.
Fix your mic.
Like I got tapped.
All right, so we're very thrilled to be here.
Huh? The rest of the show is going to be less violent.
Less violent.
Okay, let's
very happy to be here.
Let's get
this
to it.
This is our second time here at the Avalon.
Yeah.
Thank you for having us. Yeah.
Let's sit. Yeah. Come on, let's sit.
Thank you guys for coming. I'm going to do a little set. You guys
okay,
sit
yeah,
down.
Yeah, go for it. This should be good.
Now,
thank you guys for coming.
Look at these. We got our nice, we want to thank our sponsors. We got a nice stuff to sit on from Ashley.
Yeah.
We got some nice stuff from,
I mean, it's real
from
homey.
Skinny Pop, right?
It's like a little living room set.
Yeah. Who wants it?
Oh, yeah. T-shirts.
Got a couple T-shirts here. Look alive, everybody.
No fighting. We're sorry there's...
I don't know. Close. Very close.
No, I couldn't get it up
there. We got more coming. We got more where that came from.
That hurt.
Oh. Jason leaves tomorrow.
Yes. I'm going to go work tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because this isn't work. This is fun. I'm going to go. I have to leave my family for a good long stretch.
Now you know how my dad feels.
Huh? Yeah. this is, it's high class problems. I'm not complaining.
But it's hard because I've been home for like a year.
I know.
I'm not going to be home for 3 weeks.
But it's exciting because you're going to direct a film that he, right?
Yeah.
And it's very, to us, it's very thrilling. To you, it's work, but to us, it's very thrilling that you're going to get behind the camera again and wow us with this other talent that you have that not a lot of people have. And so very exciting.
I think everybody's happy that you're going behind the camera again, you know? I think you can make, because you're a good director.
Yeah.
Right, that wasn't a compliment, was it? Did he sneak in an insult?
No.
No.
But you just got back from working away from home for a long time, but you had Scotty with you, so all you missed was Ricky.
What a show!
yes, we were gone for three months. We just got back last week. But Amanda will be with you in New York, right?
No, she's going to be here. Franny's going to be with me
after
a little while. And then Amanda and Maple are going to come out for a little bit.
You know what? Just email me the itinerary. We're good.
Yeah.
You know?
What did you end up doing with your dog when you were in New York for so long?
We left the dog. Nobody knows, actually. The dog is still missing. No, that we left, put the dog in a, what's it called? When you board them?
Prison?
No, when you board them.
No,
you know?
I'm just saying what it felt like for the dog.
Yeah. No, it's cost a fortune, but he was with other dogs and he could play and he was good. He seemed happy when we talked to him on the phone. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
No, he was good.
Are you guys just meeting for the first time? What's happening? This is the weirdest. I'm so far away.
I know. Well, it's different than the podcast.
Yeah, we are going to have a guest that's going to come out here in a second. So that's why we're all separated.
We do have a guest. Sean and I don't know who the guest is.
I really
He's my
don't.
Guest.
That's
it is a
true
he.
Story.
Wait.
We never know. Yeah. We truly never know who the guest is. Every once in a while, somebody who on our...
Except for like the presidents of the United States.
The presidents we knew. Yeah. But we really don't know. And so it's always a surprise. And we do never talk about what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
The difference with this, though, is that usually I don't do it, but you guys, when I bring on a guest, when we do, you
guys. The microphone.
I see you guys typing on your computer, quickly Googling that person as soon as they.
Not
because they don't know it, but like to like come up with like questions and stuff like that.
Fucking bullshit.
No, it is bullshit.
I don't do that.
Typing away.
Sean definitely does that. But
if I don't know the person, it's like if a sports person comes
out. You just raw dog it?
I do not do that. How dare you accuse me of that? What are you basing that on?
No.
Well,
remember,
then what are you playing with?
I'm messaging people, dude. I'm busy.
Playing. just going to have to wing it
with this fella.
Have to wing it. I mean, I don't know who it is, and so.
You're going to like him. I like him. He's a friend of mine.
Wait, I just have a little something I brought with me that I want to show everybody.
Oh boy, he loves to prepare.
We got to watch Sean's reel.
Yes.
This is
so today, only 8 hours ago, at 11:05 a.m. this morning, Scotty and I chatted with a friend of ours.
Chatted. You can't hear ourselves up here. I'm so sorry.
We brought a friend over and we just chat everywhere.
At 11:05, we both happened to chat.
No, we chatted with a friend of ours and a friend of ours and a friend of the podcast.
Oh.
And it's pretty unbelievable. And we Scotty cut together this 20-second video to show you what we did only 8 hours ago today. This is what happened.
Okay.
Are we going to the tape?
Yeah.
We haven't seen this.
Hello to everybody at the Avalon.
Ah!
What?
Isn't that crazy? Look at her shirt.
That is so cool.
Hey, can you see my reflection?
Yes!
Upside down.
That is wild.
I'm just looking at the shirt.
Look at that.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
I'm putting into our kitchen right now, so this is like our kitchen table. This is how we warm up food. Oh, we got some garlic and onions and some fresh fruit on the
table. That's gonna make the place smell real good.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Yeah. So
that is so cool.
That was this morning. And she's like, do you want to just chat? I'm like, on the fucking International Space Station? Yeah. So for 45 minutes, we were just chatting. She showed us around. She showed us the Russian astronauts and the Japanese section and the, I don't know, it was
that's
crazy.
So that, how cool is that to see our government, you know, tax dollars at work?
Wait, did you say 45 minutes you talked?
45 minutes we hung out with her today. Isn't that cool?
Was there a phone number?
No, she sends us a link to like a, not Zoom, but something else. But wait, yeah, what, Google Meet or whatever. So wait, I wrote down these things. They are moving 5 miles a second. And they rotate the Earth every 90 minutes. That's how fast they're going. Isn't that crazy? And I said, what experience are you working on? She said, something like astronauts get blood clots, so they're doing some of that. And they're growing crops like Matt Damon in The Martian. And they're DNA therapeutics, protein crystals, future propulsion systems. But what's fascinating is that she said, when you go up there, something happens to the back of your eyes because there's no gravity, and it flattened the back of her eyes. So she doesn't need glasses on Earth anymore. Isn't that amazing?
No way.
She doesn't need glasses. And so she has 20/20 vision.
Sir, what's that book you're reading? I just saw you.
It's my phone. Anyway, I just wanted to share that with you because that happened today.
But how are you? Because I remember when she was on the podcast.
Yeah.
We must have covered this, but remind me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How are you friends with an astronaut?
Because of the podcast.
What's with the look on your face? It's so shitty.
Why
are you mad at him?
He doesn't know anybody. He never leaves his house. He barely knows his dog. He knows Scotty pretty good.
What happens is he meets people and they want to continue to have a relationship because he's nice. He doesn't have a shitty look on his face.
And by the way, you just described yourself and you were describing me. Yeah, isn't that wild? Anyway, isn't that cool?
I just can't believe you can actually communicate. So she's currently on the space station.
Till September.
Wow.
And I'm complaining about going to Jersey for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Exactly. But we can talk to her again. Like, we can hop on there. I asked her tons of questions. She loves it. They love it.
JB, were you thinking about, like, how fluid would move differently if you were up there, like in your face and stuff?
No, you do look puffy when they do those little hits from out of space. I wouldn't be into it.
No, no.
I just do radio from up
but
there.
But it does. It lifts.
Radio.
Sorry, guys. Camera's not working again. That's what I keep saying.
Radio from space.
No, I don't care about this. Is just a bit. I don't care about that stuff.
All right. So, okay. Sorry.
There's no vanity. All right.
Sean, do you have any more bits, any more stuff
any
for
more
us?
Pre-tape, Sean?
Yeah.
I always have tons of stuff.
I just said that we never do anything planned, and then you went to a video package.
Yeah, well, I wanted to make sure I left space for her, but I didn't know how to plan it.
Oh my God, I can't find my intro for the freaking guest.
This is so real.
Michael, bring me those cards down, please. God damn it.
So what else is going on?
Unreal.
You know, I just quit smoking recently.
No, you didn't.
What? You did?
Yeah. Smoking. It's
Maple Bateman.
Yeah, Maple.
Maple Bateman. Woo! All right, this is going to be a disaster tonight. All right. Freestyling now. Intro the guest.
Short. It can be short.
This guy. I'm an actor. This is supposed to be written for me, and
I can see your sweat.
I know. I'm in deep sweat right now. Okay. So this is a fella who he is extremely. I think he's one of the greatest comedic actors we have. Full stop. Okay? That's a good start, right? See me vamping? But he doesn't just make you laugh. He makes you cry sometimes. Look at what else with all the phones are up. What's going on? I feel like Ariana Grande. He's been nominated twice for an Oscar for fancy movies, right? Not just the comedy stuff. This guy's a big shot.
Wow.
He's also writes and directs movies, done a few of those. What is it, Ryan Reynolds? No, he hasn't written or directed a film yet. And I have found that while he's incredibly talented, his heart's even bigger because we've become friends over the past few years.
Oh.
You know him from Forgetting Sarah Marshall. You know him from Knocked Up, 40-year-old virgin. You know him from Superbad, Moneyball, Wolf of Wall Street. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Jonah Hill.
I'm like, what is he gonna say, dude? What's up, Sean? How are you? I was already nervous. I'm like, oh, he already fucking. All right,
this is a. Yeah, what were you thinking, right. Jonah? What were you thinking backstage when Bateman blew it with the
that
intro?
It's just a total wipeout.
I'm just coming back out here, like, in crowds and stuff. My
sure.
wife's
yeah,
here.
Me
I'm
too.
Like, and I'm like,
he's down in
okay,
San Diego now.
Jason's gonna hook me up. And he's like, oh, I don't have an intro. So I'm sitting back there going like, he's going to go, he's a guy yeah. that I'm friends with, that I text with. And like, I was like, oh, fuck. He probably wrote something nice and now it's going to get like dumbed down to, you know.
You know how to improvise. I'm all right at the improvising, but you're the Mac dad. You and Vince Vaughn,
yeah.
no one better.
Brilliant.
Oh. Ever.
Yeah. Brilliant.
All right, so... Right, so you're not in front of crowds all the time. You're not up in LA. You're down in San Diego for the most part
That's
now.
Right.
Oh, yes. You live in San Diego?
Oh, yeah. So okay. So real quick, before we go in any further, my wife is here. My best friend and business partner,
Shout
Matt Dines,
out.
Is here. Shout out to my beautiful wife, Liv. Where is she? Oh, what's up, baby? and then so I live in a very small town in San Diego, and it's amazing. And my neighbors are incredible people. And when we had our first kid, we moved out there. 3 years ago, and my neighbors are so cool. I wanted to leave LA and raise a family outside of Los Angeles and out away from entertainment, and I could maybe come back and then,
yeah.
you know, go back and forth. And my neighbors are so cool. They never, like, treat me weird or ask me about my job or anything. And my neighbor is one of my great friends, Dr. Sean. He never asked. He's here tonight.
Whoa.
But hold on. He never bothered me or was like, oh, what's this person like? And then like after like a year, we were in the sauna just chilling like two dads. And he goes, can I ask you one question? And I was like, yeah, sure, man. And he's like, is Jason Bateman a cool guy? And that was his one question about show business. And I was like, yeah, he's an amazing guy. And he goes, he's like, it's fucking cool. I'm a big fan of his. So shout out to Dr. Sean and Dr. Bob and Heidi and Laura. I love you guys. Welcome.
You know what? It sounds like, JB, you might be able to get in that sauna with these guys.
Yeah, listen, I love a good sauna.
For one more.
What do you think, Dr. John? You think JB is good in the sauna?
I get super nice in the schwitz. Jonah.
Yeah, nice to see you all. Thanks for having me.
Jonah, thank you for doing this. This is a very easy no. And you said yes.
Yeah.
You know, you could just say, oh, I'm down in San Diego now.
Yeah,
you know,
we drove in today. It was
right?
awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, will you stay overnight or will you drive back?
Yeah, we're staying at a hotel. We brought both our kids. And
oh, that's nice.
We have a new little baby who's like just a brand new baby. And then we have an almost 3-year-old. Both
oh,
boys.
That's so nice.
So now, what do you miss about L.A. when you come up? What do you like to do?
You know,
City Walk. You know.
I grew up here. L.A. was such a cool place to grow up in the 90s because you could, like, you know, you could go skateboard downtown or you could sneak into a movie premiere or you could go sneak into a comedy club and see, like, Chris Rock or something. You know, you had access to, like, show business stuff, but you had access to, like, punk and skating and graffiti and all the like naughty stuff. And there was no internet. It was just so awesome. And, right. And it was.
So you were skating, right? Because your first film, yeah. mid-90s, which is awesome. That Thank like you. You certainly were at least familiar with the skating culture. Do you know your way around a skate park?
I mean, yeah. I still skateboard every day. Like,
come on.
Yeah.
You do? Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Because my daughter, Maple, I took her to the skate park this morning, Pedlo over there in the valley. She's working on Pop Shove-Its, Ollie's. She just dropped in last weekend.
Amazing. And so, you're already better than I ever was. When I say I skateboard every day, now with my son, we surf skate, which is like way easier. It's like I don't do tricks or anything anymore. I'm too old. I'm 42.
So surf skate means you're on a longboard and you just kind of cruise.
Let's not go crazy. I'm not on a longboard, Jason. I'm on a shorter board, but yeah.
So you were part of that skate culture just a little bit. Yeah,
I loved it. Yeah, it was amazing. Like anything skating, hip hop, and comedy when I was a kid. I was like, anything about any of it, all I could...
Did you cross paths with Spike Jonze at all back in the day?
Well, I did a ton, and Spike is my biggest mentor and one of my best friends.
Incredible director. Wow. What a nice guy, too.
He's like one of the most amazing people. And before I directed Mid-90s, I wrote Mid-90s at his apartment.
Oh, really?
And New York. We were both living in New York. And I basically spent like 5 years... you know, after kind of, what was it? Like, I've been gone for a while, so I'm kind of coming back and I'm like excited because I got all like serious for a while and I wasn't that happy.
It happens to us all.
I wasn't that happy. And then I had my family and I got happy and now all I want to do is be funny again, you know? So like, it's...
You were always funny.
It's a freaking blast to just like, that's why I said yes. I'm like, I want to go fucking be funny in front of a crowd and that'd be awesome, you know?
But the humor, do you find that the humor's coming from a more substantial place now that it's... I mean, you're still... You couldn't shake funny if you tried, but now you've got... a whole deeper well of reflection and knowing yourself more, and you've peeled the onion, and now you've got a bunch of other stuff to draw upon to feed your humor. Yes.
Yeah, I think. I mean, speak for me. That's fine. But
that's my specialty.
Hey guys, I don't need to be here. There's no intro, and I just drive back to San Diego and go fuck myself.
I put the question and the answer in it, and then I say
he could have just deep. He could have just zoomed. Awesome. He could have zoomed in.
Yeah.
He could have just zoomed him.
Totally. No, that is a good, that's a good...
Thank you, next
that's
question.
How I feel. No, but it's more like if you're bummed, you don't feel like being that funny, right? And if you're happy, the first thing I thought about when I got like had my kids and was so stoked, it was like, I connected to back when I was just like 12 and I was just being funny for fun.
Right.
And I was like, that's the thing I fell in love with my whole life. Like, I dedicated my whole life to learning everything about The Simpsons and comedy,
I was
history.
Saying, like, who did you, when you were growing up in the 90s, who were your influences? Who were you like, God, that guy is so funny, or that show is so
Everybody.
Funny?
Everybody. I mean, everything. Like, anything good, bad, or in between, it was
but like... But you're so, like Jason said, you're such a genius at improvisation. The first time I saw you... was on a show called Campus Ladies.
Yes.
And one of my best friends, Carrie Aisley, is here.
Is she here?
She's right there.
Carrie!
Yeah.
Yo,
and you were on the
up?
Show with her.
Oh my God, hey Carrie.
Have you met Dr. Sean?
Dude, yeah. Carrie
Sean couldn't get them
you
seats.
You can't see him.
Carrie gave me a huge break. Thank you, Carrie. Yeah. You gave me a huge fucking break when I was like 18.
Yeah. But yeah. I watched you on that show and I'm like, oh my, of course you skyrocketed. You were a brilliant performer, actor, improviser, all of it. And I was just like, who is this person? So you must have
had... I mean, mostly The Simpsons. I think The Simpsons is like the number one thing in the entire world. Yeah. Like, yeah. If anything's left an impact on my life, it'd be The Simpsons. Over.
But it's some of the greatest comedy writing of all time. It's pretty... It's like such a heavyweight.
But it was... But that was obviously... There's no acting in that except for the voices, obviously. So were you following like the writing of that? Was writing the first pull for you, not performing?
So if you like shook me in the middle of the night and were like, what do? I'd be like, I'm a comedy writer. That's what I do. Like, I write jokes every day. Like, I go and write scripts. Like, you don't know this because you just see the... front side of it, but most of my job is writing comedy movies. That's like mostly what I do. And when I was young, I would VHS record The Simpsons and then pause it on the writers and write them all letters.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
And to this day, one of my biggest mentors and friends is David Merkin, who's like an iconic Simpsons writer. And every time, like, you've been to a screening of early cuts in my movies for notes, like, David Merkin comes to every single screening, every table read, and he was like my childhood hero. So I wrote them all letters when I was like 7, 8 years old. And that was my dream. Like if I had written for The Simpsons, that's like would have been
Did you write a spec Simpson script?
Yeah, I've written a ton of spec Simpsons.
Oh, you did?
Scripts.
Did they ever buy one or pick? No.
No, I never like sent them to them. I wrote them like as like an 8-year old.
Yeah, they can't receive. They're just an 8-year old. Well, then when did the performance part of it start to take hold? Like, when did you think that you could be in front of the camera?
Well, I gotta think all three of you were like hams, comedic hams, right?
What happened?
Like, did you just drift off?
He's narcoleptic.
He said, we're all hams.
I think all three.
Yeah, we're all hams.
Must have been hams when you were little kids.
Yeah,
Like, if there was like a party at my parents' house, I'd do like a comedy show.
Absolutely.
I feel like everyone here can relate to that.
Absolutely.
So it was just always like people were like, oh, you're funny. And then when I got to middle school, people's parents were like, you should pull them out of school to my parents and like make him a comedian.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
People would like
because
say
you
that.
Because you were going to schools where there were some people that were in the business, like the center and
people
Crossroads.
People think I'm a Nepo baby, by the way. My wife and I were just laughing about this, that I'm a Nepo baby. My dad's a fucking accountant. If you ask these guys, he directs a lot of shit. Do you ever hire your business manager's son for a fucking Black Rabbit or whatever?
Yeah, no.
You hired Jeffy Goldstein to play like the heavy and
But Jonah, how old were you when we met? We met when you were like you were young.
Will, should we take a snack break?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were like hanging out at my school, like
No. We were
like a trench coat on.
Yeah, no, that was a
newly
different,
sober.
That's something different.
Okay, all right.
No, it was at like I'm leading by example.
You had this like van.
It was at the Whistler's.
Still rolling. Yeah.
No, so I went to the school called Crossroads, which is a like full leg up because if you grow up out here and go to this school, everybody's parents are in entertainment. So to be fair, it wasn't an abstract job. That was like my big leg up where I was like, everybody's parents here works in entertainment. So if you want to like write for The Simpsons, that's not the craziest idea in the entire world, right?
Yeah,
so that was a huge
intro.
Leg up for me to just not be like show business is abstract and far away, right?
Right.
We were literally at, it was Henry Winkler, we were doing the first season of Arrested Development, and I went over there for breakfast one Saturday, and you and Max were
so pals. Max was like my best friend in high school, is Henry's son, and he's an amazing guy and a great director.
He directs a lot of the Ryan Murphy stuff, right?
A ton of amazing stuff. The Charlie Hunnam show he just did was incredible. Freak. Monsters.
Yeah.
He's great.
And he's an amazing dude. Yeah. And so I met Will, and I remember meeting Will.
You were a kid.
I was so hyped because I was interning for his brother, and Arrested Development had just come out. And
Jake Hoffman was another buddy of yours.
Yeah.
He interned on Arrested Development, didn't he?
Yeah.
No
Dustin
way.
Hoffman's son.
Is that a TV show?
Oh. Yeah.
Arrested Development.
You know, it's very funny.
Jonah, Sean's never seen it.
Never seen it.
Is that real?
Not a bit.
It's real.
Never seen it.
It's real.
It's real.
I saw the first episode.
You guys have the best job in show business. I'm so jealous of you guys because
you're on it. This is your joining
us. We're looking to replace one of us.
But like, you guys have like, it's like being in a writer's room. Like you're just bullshitting with your friends, but you don't have to make the thing at the end.
Yeah, exactly.
You just get paid like $100 million to just show up to the writer's room and never have to like make the good jokes in or edit out the bad ones. You're just like, man, let's
they
just sit on the couch and order food and.
Yeah.
Like,
all right, but so wait. So you want to be a writer. You start doing it at 8. You're in a schools where the pathway to entertainment industry is not unreasonable. But at what age do you get the first sort of on camera idea, and then it actually happens? Are you still in high school?
I was 18, so like fresh out of high school, I started working. And
so what's that first job? Do you get an agent?
No. So it wasn't like that. I went to new school. I went to Boulder for one semester and got kicked out. My mom calls it her $40,000 sweatshirt. and she's really funny. My parents are really funny people and awesome people. But so then I went to new school and in New York City, and I started just performing in like in theater school, but then performing at bars and doing like kind of stand-up.
You're doing stand-up.
Kind of, yeah, like stand-up and then like short plays and like... They would let me perform at this bar called Black and White, which is an awesome bar.
Did you do Black and White, Willie?
No.
It was so fun. It was like the most fun time. And then I started getting like a crowd of people, and I was already like, it's on, dude.
So now
like, I was like, it's so going to be on. Because
you're
like,
comfortable in front of an audience. And, and then so going to a camera then is not that much of a leap.
No. And then I got my first job in a movie called I Heart Huckabees, which was like my first job.
Yeah.
And Jake's dad, Dustin, was like, you should be a comedic actor.
Okay, so how did that come to be? How did you get in front of Dustin?
It wasn't like a performance thing or anything. I was just friends with his son, and he would see me do stuff and I make prank call CDs. I was like a ham. I was just like trying to be funny all the time.
But you know? Like you were just making Dustin laugh around the house, and he says you
It'd
should
be like
read.
If Mabel had a friend over and you or like, you know, Rob Reiner, rest in peace to the legend. I fucking love that dude so much. But, you know, Rob would bring Albert Brooks around, and Rob would tell me that, like, his dad was like, Albert is the funniest fucking guy, but Albert was just Rob's friend.
Right.
You know, okay. And Albert's Albert Brooks, right? So, like, Dustin was like, I'm doing this movie. I got you an audition. And so he got me an audition.
You read for the casting director.
Mary Venue,
she passed it on to David. David said, Russell. Yeah, great. And then you get on that set. And what's that like being on a set? Are you just looking around?
David O was fucking nuts at that time, dude.
He was
buck wild. And I'm like homies with him. He's awesome. Super nice guy. But at that moment in life, and I've had my own, trust me, he was buck wild, dude. There's like, you know, he was like screaming at Lily Tomlin and stuff.
Oh, it's online.
It's online and shit. Yeah. and he'll talk about it. Like, you know, he's really cool. He's one of the best directors ever. I mean, Flirting with Disaster and Three Kings. I mean, he's so goated. It's insane. So I got on the set. I was like, everyone's screaming at each other. The first time I walked on set, him and KK Barrett, the production designer, were joking around wrestling. And then it turned into a real fight. And it was like joking that like turned into a fight. And these guys are like fighting. And it was they were setting up my first scene to act in the movie.
Welcome to Hollywood.
And I was like, Hollywood is so tight. This is so cool. And
I saw a fist fight on set once, too. That was,
really?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was so crazy.
Can you say the name of the movie?
I don't remember. It was this weird thing I did, but it was out in the desert. Listen, guys.
Was everyone wearing
clothes?
The
point is, but I saw these two dudes... These two big dudes, like a grip and a gaffer, get into it. And they were arguing, and they ended up getting into a fucking fist fight.
Wow.
Well, full circle moment, real quick, because I want to give KK some shout out right now. But if I ever get to direct movies, I'm going to hire KK Barrett. And he did my newest movie, Outcome.
He did.
He was the production designer.
Okay. Oh,
full circle, like this, 20 years later,
like
he was the
greatest production designer ever. One of them, sure.
So that was like a full circle moment. It was like a dream of mine.
So from there... you do a great job in that movie. You have to wait until the movie comes out, until the industry starts to see it, or does word get out from like dailies and early cuts and stuff like that and gets
My part was so small that like it didn't make a dent. It wasn't like people were like, you know, trying to give me jobs and shit. And then I met a guy named Peter Principato, incredible manager, who is my former manager, awesome dude. And he introduced...
Who's my former too, that's why he's Will.
That's why I was looking at Will,
that's
sorry.
That's why he's
looking at me, Legend, and he got me an audition for Campus Ladies, and that was my second job, Ladies. And I got like 3 or 4 episodes on that, and it was all Groundlings people. And on that show, because it was like Will Forte and Maya Rudolph and like every dope person I was like in love with came on to the show. And then my life really kicked off when I met Judd Apatow, you know? So
did those people kind of get in Judd's ear and say, hey, you got to check this guy out?
I think I was just starting to do like table reads. I mean, this is like inside baseball, so this might be so boring. Is this boring as shit? Okay.
Right. So like when somebody's gonna like has a script and they're thinking about making a movie, they'll get a bunch of really talented people around a table and they'll read it out loud and see if it makes everybody laugh and the parts.
And I was like the funny like 18-year-old. There wasn't a lot of like 18. Me and Michael Cera would be at like all of them together, you know. So, and like Seth and Jason Segel, like all the young dudes would be at them. And then when Judd started blowing up, was I auditioned for 4-Year-Old Virgin. I met him and Seth. And then my life, from then on, that day I shot 40-Year-Old Virgin. It's one scene in an eBay store. Yeah. And it was raining that day.
Yeah.
So we were only supposed to shoot that scene for like an hour, but it was raining, so they didn't have a cover set. So we shot it a whole day, and I just improvised a whole day in front of Judd and Seth and Sean and Robertson, one of my best friends. And Judd was like, what do you want to write? And I was like, you don't understand. All I want to do is write. And so...
But what about the
So he gave me... I pitched him 2 movies, and he bought them. And my parents are like, who is this guy who's molesting you? I was living at home, and I was 19. They're like, who is Judd Apatow, and is he, like, touching your wiener? Because, like, you're, like, a fucking
spending
weird
a lot of time over
stoner
there.
Who, like, doesn't have a job. And, like, why do you have a 2-picture deal at, like, Universal? And you're like, it made no sense.
What were the films?
One was called Middle Child, which a lot of those jokes, I won't say, but the movie maybe got swallowed into another movie. Uh-huh. And then one was about an imaginary friend, which is a really clever script,
yeah, yeah.
And then neither of them got made.
Right,
but it like ingratiated me with those guys, and then we went on this whole crazy
See,
awesome
now, I
journey.
Hear this all I hear this all the time, like just those two, like the title Middle Child and something with Imaginary Friend with you writing it. Where did those scripts go? Like, why don't we resurrect them?
They're around. I mean, like, I could probably try and clean one up and get it made, but I have new stuff.
What's that?
You want to take a look at it?
I just want to take a look. I'll do the table read.
There's
table
a great part for you in there.
Are you accepting notes still? Because Sean...
We'll be right back.
This episode of Smartless is sponsored by Ashley,
yep.
The brand that helped turn our live event stage into a fully styled living space.
Ashley's whole thing is making your home feel like you with styles that balance timeless design and modern trends.
Slower, Sean. And it's not just about looks. Their stuff is built to hold up to the real life with durable materials and easy to clean fabrics.
For the live show, we were on their Mod Max sofa. It's modular, so you can kind of move it around however you want, depending on your space. Yeah.
And it's got that super soft performance fabric, which sounds fancy, but really just means if you spill something, you're not immediately in a panic, Sean.
Yeah. So the accent chairs were great too. Big, they're comfortable. Oh. The kind of chair where you sit down and you go, all right, I'm here for a while.
And the coffee and accent tables tied everything together. Clean, simple, but somehow made everything feel
so
finished.
True, Will.
Yeah.
It's just a beautiful setup.
Honestly, that setup worked perfectly for the show. The modular couch made it easy for us to fit however many people ended up on stage.
Yeah, I mean, good luck with you, man.
Thanks.
I'm not kidding. I would have taken that whole setup home. It looked great. Felt very comfortable, you know?
Really did feel like we were just hanging out in someone's living room.
Yeah, and for Jason, this is the farthest he's been from his couch in weeks.
It's hurtful.
Ashley is all about style that's made for real life with white glove delivery right to your room of choice.
Visit your local Ashley store or head to ashley.com to find your style. This episode of Smartless is brought to you in part by Skinny Pop Popcorn, which, yes, is exactly what we were inhaling backstage at the live show.
True story. There is something very satisfying about a snack that actually delivers and doesn't come with a paragraph of ingredients.
Yeah, and Skinny Pop keeps it simple. Real ingredients, classic popcorn. Nothing weird, nothing you have to Google.
Yeah, the original is light and airy, but still hits the spot. And if you want to mix it up, they got white cheddar, butter, sweet and salty kettle.
It's one of those snacks that works for anything. Watching something, traveling, pretending you're only going to have a handful.
Jason, that's you. We had Skinny Pop backstage at the live show, and it disappeared fast.
Families, friends, zero restraint.
Yeah, it's kind of our go-to movie night, friends, road trip, before we record, during the record.
White cheddar, butter, sweet and salty kettle.
Sean, do you put Skinny Pop on your pasta marinara?
Oh, absolutely. It adds texture.
Yeah. It's upsetting.
Look, the stuff we want to snack on and the stuff we should snack on, usually not the same thing. Skinny Pop bridges that gap.
Creates a bridge in between the...
Skinny Pop. Deliciously popped, perfectly salted, popular for a reason.
I'll say.
And now back to the show.
But what about the stroke of genius luck that you landed in front of Judd Apatow, like one of the greatest sort of finders of talent and nurturers of talent?
Yeah,
and
he's
giving
amazing.
People chances and championing them. Like, look what he's done. Just you alone. I mean, and there's what?
100
people. Probably name 25 people right now that are household names that Judd has championed.
Judd's like Kobe. I mean, like he's so...
He's up there with Lorne Michaels as far as launching people into the comedy world.
Yeah, there was like me and my friends, but then there's like Lena Dunham, and it went on like Amy Schumer. Pete, you know, like he really just like see something in these people, and he's so great at like mining what you're going through and helping you find your voice. And what he really did was he put me through Harvard education of directing comedy movies. So like now that I'm 42 and we have our own company, shout out Strong Baby. shout out Matt Dines, my bestie up there. Yeah. And we produce the movies we make now. I like know what to do because of Judd.
Right.
You know, so I'd go, he was blowing up. So my favorite thing was going to the table reads because you'd have writers at the table reads and you'd dissect and give notes on the scripts. And that's what I love to this day. I love like the Rubik's Cube of cracking and making better and making a comedy script better.
Absolutely. You're not burdened by the idea of writing.
Like I love it. It's my favorite part of the process.
But I mean, do you love the part where you're sitting in a room by yourself and you're staring at a blank wall and you're just trying to like, trying to fill a blank page? Like to me, that's the hardest thing in the business.
As dickheadish and insane as I was when I got famous at like 22, like I don't take for granted a day that I get paid to write jokes.
Okay.
I actually think, and I've grown way past that part when I was 21 or 22, but like I cannot believe I get to write jokes for my job. Right. I say it to myself every day. I'm like,
what about
dude,
like structure and like character development and you know, all is lost on page 75 and like all of this like stuff you've got to like, there's like, it's
the best job in the world.
By the way, Tony, if you notice, everything exhausts him.
Yeah.
Everything.
Dude, if I was on Smartlist, I wouldn't fucking write scripts.
No, it's so hard.
Don't you guys have like a mobile company? Like, dude, if I was you guys, I wouldn't touch a computer the rest of my goddamn life. I'd live in Tahiti and fucking phone this in on Zoom, dude.
All right, so
I'm out here. I got to work in Hollywood, which like doesn't exist anymore. So I'm basically a cobbler. Well, I make comedy movies. It's like me and two other people.
Well, Jonah, talk to me about that. Like, I know you're half joking about Hollywood being whatever you just said, like it's over, you know, because that's the feeling out there right now is that, you know, where is this going? And everybody's scared and everybody's like, what's going to happen with AI? And especially in comedy, not especially in comedy, but like.
Oh, thank God, a conversation about AI. finally, we can
you
hear
can't,
some
no, but like, what you can put in a prompt that says, write me a joke that Jonah Hill might say on a stage with three other dudes. Like, you'll get like six jokes. Yeah, so like, is that going to like affect the whole writing stuff? And
no, because you can't replace comedy. Ultimately is human pain
and
time.
Blank page, so like, and then you're just plussing it, perhaps.
It'd be like having some Grom writers in the writer's room.
Yeah.
They'll write, AI will write like 50 shitty jokes that you could rewrite or something, they won't have the human experience that allows comedy to be funny, because you got to get dumped to write a funny movie about getting dumped, right?
Right.
A computer hasn't been dumped. They know, maybe they have, I don't know, I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry to all the computers bent in the crowd. I don't worry at all. I also live in, I'm like, I just go until they fire me. Like, I'm so motivated by what I do and my family that like, I just have two things. I have my family and writing comedy.
Yeah.
So like,
well, where do I fit in that?
Yeah. Well, I'm here tonight.
All right. So how close are we to Superbad now at this point in?
It'll be 20 years. Oh, you mean like at that?
Yeah. Period? In this story here, where you're.
Oh, dude. So it's 40-year-old virgin, and then a year later we made Knocked Up, and then 2 months after Knocked Up we made Superbad. Okay. So like a year after I met Judd, we made Superbad.
So who? I'm embarrassed. I should know this.
And you guys were working with Michael, right?
We were.
Then
who
too.
Wrote Superbad?
Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg wrote the most brilliant script
Got
of all
it.
Time.
Okay. Yeah.
And it read, we all improvised and everyone comes up with great jokes on those movies, but their script that they wrote was like flawless.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But like, do you remember Michael Cera going away to do that movie that was done during the hiatus?
No, but I tell you something, this is a true story. So years ago, right before, like the year before Superbad, there was a script that we were going to do at at a place. I won't say because then you'll be able to know who was in charge. And it was about, it's this crazy, great script that Mitch Hurwitz and I worked on with Jim Valley. And really, really, really funny. It turned out great. And I said to the guy who ran this particular studio, so this is Superbad was 2007, yeah. Right? So
Jesus. This is 2006. I mean, pause for a second. You with the dates. He knows dates like Mary Lou
Henner.
That is crazy. It's nuts.
Yeah. And
he'll tell you what month was the film released in?
Which one?
Superbad, 2007.
Oh, that I don't know. I don't know.
It was 2007.
Yeah, no, but what month? Oh. It's probably a summer release, right?
You could guess. Probably. Yeah, probably. It might have been. But I remember going in, and there, this thing that we were working on called for this dude, this character I was playing, and then these two teenage sons. And it was two teenage boys who were best friends. It was basically like a three-hander. And I said to the guy, this is before all that, before 40-Year-Old Virgin, I go, it should be Michael Cera and this kid, Jonah Hill.
No way.
And he goes, what? No, man. What are you talking about? And I swear to God, and a fucking year later or whatever it was, 18 months later, Superbad comes out. And it's like a huge hit. And I'm like,
enormous.
This dumb fuck.
Yeah.
This fucking guy blew it. Yeah. And he got fired.
Did he?
Yeah. He should have.
Yeah. I'll tell you after.
Thank you.
I'll tell you after, and then you're going to
be like, when I met Will, like when I was 18, I met him at my friend's house, and I was bugging out, dude, because he was Job from Arrested Development. I was like, holy shit, dude. Like,
so good.
Couldn't believe
it. So good.
Yeah.
These guys. Anyway.
All right, so Superbad happens. That's very, very cool, very exciting, yes, but I would imagine...
It was game-changing, too. That movie.
That's my question. Was it disruptive, or did you flow with it pretty good? Because I know Michael Cera was... Because Arrested Development was
Just finished, right? We were just done Arrested Development.
We had finished the three seasons at Fox?
Because we finished in December of 2005.
Okay, so then that... So
are you allowed to say Rain Man?
I remember... He is, Mary Lou Henner.
Are we okay? Okay, no.
I remember Michael was just... Even though he'd already had some fame, some notoriety from Arrested Development, Superbad was a whole nother level.
Yeah.
And there was a level of adjustment for him, I know for sure. For you as well, was it comfortable for a bit?
I mean, it was exciting as hell, but it was crazy. It was just bizarre. You know, it was like...
Can't walk down the street anymore.
Yeah, and Michael and I hung out every day still.
Oh, no.
So we would go to Cantor's. I live behind Cantor's in Cecil's apartment. And Michael and I would just walk to Cantor's, and there people would... we'd be talking about the shit like in the... Like, right. Our lives were like that movie. And people would see us and they'd freak out because it's like we walked off the screen into the deli, you know, like
people think you're shooting a sequel.
Yeah, it was just so bizarre, you know. It was trippy.
But are you thinking? Because you're how old are you at that point? 20?
22.
22. So you're at an age.
I don't know, I think I'm not Will. 22 or 23.
So you're at an age where you're thinking about, okay, I need to have a job, a career. I need to be starting thinking 5 years, 10 years in the future. I gotta provide. So this is. Are you thinking now, I've got some momentum, this can be my career. Does it align with what your plans were, what your dreams were, what your goals were?
I was obviously stoked because I loved the movie. You know, I didn't know if I'd get to work on shit I loved.
Right.
I knew I'd work in comedy in some capacity. Like, I had the confidence enough to know, like, I am professionally funny, even at, like, 18 or 19, whatever. But I didn't, like, Superbad was, like, my dream. I was, like, what I wanted to see.
Yeah,
right.
You know? So I was so stoked that Judd was in the position to make the kind of movies
those films are being made.
Superbad comes out. You've got a pretty good idea that shit's working out. It's a huge hit. Right.
It was crazy.
I'm going to watch
that. The comedy features were a huge business. Huh?
I'm going to watch it tonight. I mean, I've seen it, but I'm going to watch it again.
Right after Arrested.
Yeah.
Now that I have kids, I'm like, oh my God, imagine when like my son, like who's three, like imagine him watching that movie. Oh my God. Yeah, yeah. I never thought about that
shit. Maple loved it.
Maple, does your cool kid still watch it and stuff?
She loved it.
That's right.
She loved it a lot. She was very excited to be here tonight.
Yeah.
What I kind of want to know is...
But it was psycho. It was psycho. Like, we couldn't walk around. And it was like so exciting and kind of scary. And then like... You just cannot not become obsessed with yourself when something like that happens. It just is like, it's impossible not to become like a weird douche for like
you,
a year.
Everybody's telling you you're great, right? So everybody's going, you're the greatest.
You just have all your friends that you're still friends with from high school, but all of a sudden one of you people like respect and pay attention to.
Yeah.
So like you just are kind of a self-centered person because it's about you a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And thank God that time is over and it's not about me anymore.
But you're skipping over a very interesting part where you're like, you're kind of, you're munching on all the junk food of all that fame and all of that access and relevance and whatnot. And then you start to think, this is a question, what should I do about dramatic work to make sure
I'll tell you the smartest thing I did was Michael had Juno come out like 2 months later.
Michael Jackson,
dude.
Have you seen Juno?
But for real. Michael Cera had Superbad and Juno come out in like 6 months. And it was like, he was more famous than I was. And he retreated inward. And I was
Michael?
Like...
I'm going to watch Juno tonight, too.
Yeah.
Sorry. Best movie about Alaska
Michael
you will
Cera?
Ever see.
Michael Cera went inward?
Soft-spoken and inward? He... He is still, I will say to this, he is top three best friends in the world to this day.
A great man.
We still talk like once a week.
Just finished directing a movie.
Yeah, he's in post on his movie. It's going to be amazing. He's so fucking brilliant and cool and a great human being. And but what I did was I got offered a bunch of movies for the first time. And I
all in the comedy space? Or
all the comedies, yeah. And I was like... I can't make a movie. None of these are as good as Superbad.
Right.
So I said to my agent, what writing jobs are available? And Sacha Baron Cohen was looking for writers for the Bruno movie. And I auditioned for the writer's room.
How does that go? What's the writer audition like?
It's like you get like a day sit-in in the writer's room. But I had been in the writer's rooms with Judd and those guys. So I got the job and I was like... super, I was like arguably more famous than Sasha was at that time. And I was like a pimply writer in his writer's room for like 6 months. I would ride my bike to the lot over here on Formosa from my apartment on Fairfax. And people would be like, yo! And I would just go and write jokes because I didn't want to think about like the outside world. I didn't want to think about the pressure of like, what do I do
next? Such a funny move to do that. To go from that to then all of a sudden just to be a staff writer on the Bruno movie.
It was the best time, though, man. Because it was like, I was like, I just got to work with one of my heroes and pitch like, I loved Bruno. Like when the Ali G show came out, it was like when Arrested Development came out. I was like obsessed with Bruno. So like all of a sudden I was writing jokes and like, Mickey Mouse was saying my jokes. Like, you know, Homer Simpson was like, it wasn't just like... someone cool. It was like a character that I already loved.
He's an incredible
talent. He's an awesome guy. He was an awesome boss.
I kind of want to get to it. I think you were trying to get to it, but man, you take a long time.
No, I do. You're
allowed to. You're supposed to be speaking.
We want to hear from you.
Liv, am I being boring or no?
No.
This is fascinating.
By the way, Jonah.
Sean, is this one of your favorite episodes of Marvelous? Do we flip over to like Dax's podcast, Sean, or no? Do we keep listening to this or fast forward?
I want to get into, because then you go and you start doing interesting things like Wolf of Wall Street, in which you're amazing.
Thank you.
Don't skip
over Moneyball.
Huh?
I'll tell you this.
By the way, Moneyball. Oh, dude. Moneyball, first of all, like really hard film to make from that book is a great book. And I remember thinking, like, they'll never do it. That movie's so great. You are so great in that movie. So you do Moneyball.
Can I say one thing before that?
Yes, please.
I don't want to jump straight to there.
Did we miss a credit?
Let the guest talk.
I know the question you're trying
to get to it, dude.
The question you're trying to ask is this, in my opinion, is that I was working for Sasha and got offered all the big comedies.
Yeah.
And I got offered The Hangover and Cyrus at the same time. And I did Cyrus.
Wow.
And
this is why we need agents.
I wish I did both. Because The Hangover rips and is an amazing movie and I love Todd. But like, I was like...
Cyrus didn't suck. The Duplasses know what they're doing.
No. But it changed my life because I wanted to do dramatic movies and comedic movies. Yeah. And that script and that part was incredibly and very deep and emotional. And a lot like my work today.
And guess what? Bennett Miller probably saw Cyrus, and he probably did not see Hangover.
So he saw Cyrus, and he cast me in Moneyball.
Fucking let him speak, dude.
Sorry, I get so excited. But
that's, now we're caught up. I'm just bridging the. Yeah. I'm just doing a little bridge. A little bridge work.
So then you were Bennett Miller, and then you work with Martin Scorsese on Wolf of Wall Street, and with Leo DiCaprio. That must have been just a mind blow with the first day.
Well, Moneyball was unbelievable.
Well, yeah, of course.
Brad. Like, Moneyball was such a trip because, like, I remember my dad was a fan of that book, and he's like, "How are they going to make this?"
Michael Lewis.
Yeah, how are you going to make this a movie?
Didn't Aaron Sorkin write that script?
And Steve Zaillian. I mean, Bennett Miller is. Not like a household name, but if you make films,
I wish
he'd
direct more movies.
He is such a brilliant director, the director of that film.
I mean, he hasn't made a movie in years.
Since
right?
Foxcatcher, I think, right?
Since Foxcatcher. I mean, he's an amazing guy and taught me so much. Yeah,
but didn't you want to direct early on? Okay.
So all these guys, I would just work for them and sponge for them and write for them. And like Spike at that time, I would just write for him for free for like 5 years, whatever commercial, whatever like short film he was doing or whatever I'd help on, because I was just an intern for all these great directors that I'd get the chance to work with as an actor. And then also the comedy writers. I was like such a nerd where I'd meet someone who wrote on Arrested Development and geek out over them at the mall. And they'd be like, what?
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it was... I'm so privileged because I just love the actual work of what I do.
Right.
You know?
Well, like, so then talk about that.
That's a rare-ass thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you're so incredibly lucky to have been on the sets of all these incredible directors. You find yourself cherry-picking from them,
Marty's like another level. Another level than everybody ever.
But I feel like there's a bit of a paternal element there between the two. You guys seem so close, and it's warm, it's genuine. He did a great cameo in the last film.
He was in Outcome, which is on Apple if you want to watch it.
Great movie.
Keanu Reeves. American Treasure.
Yep.
The fact that I call Marty and don't have to stop and like apologize is psychotic to me. You know, like Simpsons and Goodfellas, I guess, would just be the two things that I think are like, if you had to like take my brain and freeze it, you'd cut it open. It'd probably be those two things. And so like, I got to direct him. This was the first movie he gave.
Did you give him a note?
Huh?
Did you give him a note at any point?
Get your shit together, Marty. Huh? I said, get your shit together. Time is money, man. Yeah. No, I mean, like, he came in so prepared. It was honestly, the whole thing was so psychedelic. Like, him coming to set and me directing him. It was so psychedelic. It was like childbirth. It was like, you see like colors and you're like, this is so trippy. And... but then he interviewed me for Interview Magazine, and he had to talk to me about the movie, and he loved the movie. And I've directed two other movies, which he liked, but he didn't love. And he's like, this is a giant leap forward, and I love this movie. And that meant a lot to me. That was fucking so powerful. The critics did not agree, but, you know... I am introduced on the toilet for the first 4 minutes of the movie, so there's that. But, you know, to have him love the movie was fucking rad. It was fucking cool and meant a lot. And he's just the best guy. You go through withdrawal after you work with him because the poor, unfortunate other directors you have to work with after cannot compare. No matter how wonderful, prepared, and amazing they are, they just...
Is there one thing that is louder to you about the experience of working with him that is different than other directors? Is it just ease?
Nothing
on set?
Comes within a billion miles. But within like, a billion it, with a B.
What is the one main thing do you think that he does different? The most
present
obvious thing
company
to you?
Excluded, right?
So you know how like he's everyone's favorite director?
Yeah.
So his ideology and taste in life and everything is like your favorite person. Director's work is like their worldview. So the reason you love Marty's work is because you love him.
Right.
You love his lenses he sees the world through and like...
His taste.
His taste, his humor, his fucking realness. You see someone in life. Here's how I know I'll be friends with somebody. When you're like at the mall and you see someone and the person's being a fucking weirdo and you look to like the person you're with and you both see it without saying anything.
Yeah.
Marty sees the fucking weirdo that you see. He gets it. Like right. He sees it all, even though he's Martin Scorsese at the same time.
Right.
You know, he's as human and real as like, the fuck is that guy doing? And he's also the biggest genius you've ever met.
We're all so lucky to be immersed into the thing that we chose to do because we love to do it, right? And you've been enjoyed tremendous success, both writing and acting and now directing and everything. Is there something, and that really stimulates your mind? Like you said, there's my family and there's work, right? And that's all you care about. That's all you love.
Yeah.
Is there anything else?
I mean, I have friends. Swear to God. Jason is my actual friend. Yeah. Great friend.
Yeah, yeah.
He is an amazing friend.
For sure. But
say more.
And I look up to him very much. He's a, I would call him a mentor because I admire his relationship with his amazing wife, Amanda, and the father he is to his children.
Yes.
And he's great at his job. And they don't have to be mutually
exclusive.
Have to say
exclusive. More.
Let's hear it for Jason.
This is a bit.
Yeah, it's true. He's a wonderful
it's
human
true.
Being.
It is very
and
true.
He's got to go to New York tomorrow. I don't know if you heard of what he's up against.
Yeah.
It's just, he's going to be
up the way
he's
across
be
the
humping
country.
It in 36J.
Can you send me the intro you wrote?
Yeah.
It was pretty, I'd love to read it.
I kind of remembered it. It was pretty close to that.
I interrupted you. What was your question, Sean?
No idea.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No. It was. I mean, to being immersed so deeply immersed in what we'd love to do, there's got to be other things that interest you. Like I'm obsessed with space,
yes,
and sci-fi, yes. And all that. What are the other things that when we think of Jonah Hill, instead of work and family, what is the thing that's like, oh, you know what? It's skateboarding. What is the other thing that we're like, what? I didn't know that you absolutely love.
Super great question because I would be lying. Hobbies are a huge part of my life and happiness as well. So yeah. I love Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I love, except my body is begging me to not love it. Mm. 42 isn't, my wife is often like, you're not going to become like a professional fighter. You know that, right? Like you're a comedian. Like,
but let me ask you something. Yeah. If we got into it,
I would fuck you up.
You'd fuck me up, right?
I would fuck all
but
three
truly,
of you.
But truly, right?
And that's the best part. My favorite thing is people are like, oh, Jonah Hill, fucking fat guy from Superbad. And I'm like, I would fucking annihilate you, dude.
Because
I'm not kidding.
Every
dude.
Fight.
Try
ends,
it. If you see me, try it, dude. Yeah, yeah.
Every
like,
fight ends up on the ground.
I can very bring
quickly.
It. Who's got it?
Yeah. I will. Unless you are way bigger than me,
I have like a
fucking fuck around and find out.
And also,
surfing.
Surfing.
So, but then your kids take all that, you know, it was all that stuff like pandemic, no life, selfish, have no family, no wife. But then, you know, kids, it's your life,
for
dude.
Sure.
You know, like it's, there is not a free moment. Like I ask permission now to go do my hobbies, you know, because like if the kids need me.
Right.
You know, but then you got to fill your own cup. That's why I call guys with Jason, like Jason, to be like, how do you balance this shit?
Right.
You know?
I have a secret fantasy of wanting to get into a fight. Because I've never been into
it. It's not a fantasy. I feel really bad for the other guy.
Sean just likes the ground and pound situation.
By the way, I'm being funny, by the way. I would fuck you up, but I am being funny also. Yeah.
You like jiu-jitsu. I'm going to start a new one called Ground and Pound. Yeah, I'm going to teach it.
Groundandpound.com is not what you think it is.
Get it now. I've never been in a fight, and I've always been like, that has to be like...
But dude, acting and like... I hadn't acted in a long time, and now I'm out there maybe going to take a role and like start acting for other people.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to act, like almost like I'm excited about to surf or do jiu-jitsu. Like,
because
like,
you've been away for it a while or because of the directing and now you're going to bring that perspective to the acting?
Yeah, like I haven't done a movie where I acted for another director. I did McKay's movie, Don't Look Up.
Which
and
you
then,
were awesome
and then
in.
You People with Kenya, which was such a fun experience. I saw Lauren London today. Shout out Lauren London. I fucking love you. Shout out Kenya. Shout out McKay. shout out all the homies. And then, what am I talking about? And then so...
Your hobbies.
Acting.
Yeah, like I was like, I might take this job. And I'm like, dude, I'm so excited to like just put on the t-shirt you tell me to put on and go be funny.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have to do, like I'm so excited like I was when I was young. And so
what
that's
about,
a fun feeling, you know?
Yeah, I do know.
What about daddy stuff? What's your favorite part?
You were
about
amazing. I called you back. You guys see, is this thing on? Will was so incredible. Yeah.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
And Bradley's just an amazing dude.
So incredible.
Yeah.
Who don't you like?
Who
I'm
don't
kidding.
I like?
I'm just kidding.
It's more like who doesn't like me, unfortunately.
What is your favorite part about daddy stuff? What have you found is your favorite thing to do with your kids that you didn't think that you didn't know you were going to love?
I knew I was going to love it. I just prayed that I'd be able to do it in the right way. You know, so I'm so proud of what I get to do.
Mm-hmm.
Every second of it is so sick. Because like, even when he's like three and crazy, because one of the ones a little baby, you can only yell at him, scream yourself hoarse at him much.
But how's your swaddle game?
That was a joke.
How's your swaddle game? Are you a good swaddler?
No, I'm not a good swaddler. I'm a good diaper changer.
You're a good diaper change?
Nope.
Yeah.
What's a swaddler?
Swaddling is when you take and you wrap up. Well, they're probably past, the young ones probably past the swaddling now.
Yeah.
I thought you said swallower.
No.
Oh, swaddler.
That's on groundandpound.com.
Was Jason, did he get in the swaddle? He did? For real.
A great swaddler. And a great diaper changer-upper.
Making your kid, like seeing your kid come up with something that he thinks is funny to make you laugh, like knowing that that's like he thinks of something that is funny in his three-year-old mind and then tries to be like, dada. And then says, which is usually, oh, fuck, or wiener, because he's my son. And he'll be like, dada, oh, fuck. And I'm like, family business, baby. Get out there.
Are you enjoying, well, he's still a little bit to you, but like, I'll bet you're going to enjoy starting to feather in like your sense of humor to him. And like, you know, he'll start to like pick up on that from you, and it'll start to maybe become kind of his sense of humor too. Like, I remember, I think it was Maple, was it you or was it Franny? I remember, I'll never forget one time, one of them said to me like, daddy, how come you never smile after you say something funny? And it was like, you know, just like, kind of like, well, because if you smile, then you know it's a joke. But if you don't smile, then it's kind of dry, and that's like sarcasm. Like, it was like so weird that I was trying to formulate what the answer would be to that. But like, you don't know what the answer is to that. It's just like,
your kids have never seen you smile. Think about that.
Yeah, that's
what it is.
Think about how fucking traumatized they are. Comedy is not supposed to be fun in our house.
Stop laughing.
I mean, you don't have to teach them shit. They just watch you. They just watch you.
Right, that's what I mean. It's like you start to just like, I don't know. I don't want to go tomorrow.
You're going to be brilliant.
Yeah,
it's brilliant.
I would be having a nervous breakdown if my kids were going to college, because I start crying sometimes. I'm like a little baby myself, because I'll look at them and be like, if like you're a teenager and don't want to hang out with me, I'll cry every night. Right. You know, like I can't imagine them.
Well, here's something that somebody said. Somebody said to me that sort of like got me off the ledge. When your kids go to college, you've got a long time to go. And Maple,
they're not going to college, let's be honest.
Maple's got another 4 or 5 years, so the tears are still pretty low. But when Franny, my eldest, left, I was like, I'm not going to do well with this. Fortunately, she goes to school in town, so I'm okay. But somebody said to me a few years before she left, she said, you're not losing your four-year-old. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not, your four-year-old is not leaving. It's an 18-year-old. That's probably been spending a lot of weekends out at friends' houses and stuff like that. So it gets feathered in, and it's not like, boom, your 4-year-old, your 10-year-old is like leaving the house. It's you're actually excited for them to start, you know, leave the nest, start flapping the wings, and it's
you. And you've like, knowing your relationship with your daughters, you've seen them blossom into these incredible people. So you're like, go shred.
Yeah,
go,
yeah. Like, you're excited to watch them go
play
do
the
it.
Guitar. You
yeah,
know,
yeah,
like,
yeah. Oh, you'll love
that's
it.
It's radical. It's all a blessing.
Yeah.
All right. We're about done here. These people, they probably want to pee or do something or get the hell out of here. In closing, though.
We're done? Oh, my God.
Yeah, we don't take a lot of time.
I was so boring. What?
No.
Talk to us about the film that's out right now and the film that's coming out. I saw that one, too. That one's fucking great. You guys are going to have to wait a little bit longer on that because you're still in post on that.
Jason also gives the best notes because he's such a great director.
But tell
let's
us
hear it
about,
for Jason.
Tells it.
Yeah. Incredible.
And Will and I are friends, but it's like a newer friendship. And then Shannon and I are going to become friends. Hopefully.
That's right. Right after
you're
this.
Sleeping over tonight.
We're gonna watch Superbad tonight.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
Beat him up.
Yeah.
If you'd like the shit beaten out of you, please let me know.
Sean's got a singlet.
Come on down to San Diego. We'll treat you right.
You look in your rear view mirror.
I went to San Diego so Jonah could beat me up.
Traffic was a nightmare.
Scotty, let's go.
Yeah.
Tell us about these two films.
The new movie's called Outcome, and you can stream it on Apple. And it's Keanu Reeves and myself and Cameron Diaz and the great Matt Bomer, who's incredible. And a bunch of amazing people, David Spade, Laverne Cox, really amazing cast. And it's a really funny movie. And if you want to enjoy yourself at home and then pause it and take a piss and get snacks and stuff, you can totally go do that.
But it's also got filmmaker stuff in it. Like, you shot it beautifully and it's scored beautifully. And it's like, it's you're doing it.
Thank you.
Now, and then this next one.
This next one is just pure stupidity. So it is just dumb.
Tell them what the concept is.
It's dumb. I'm about to go on a run of just the dumbest shit you've ever seen in your entire life. So I hope you left your brains at home. So it's called Cut Off, and Kristen Wiig and I play two dumbass heirs, rich kids in their mid-40s who get cut off by their rich parents, played by Bette Midler and Nathan Lane. So,
oh, that's great.
It is like Step Brothers, Clueless, Trading Places.
It's just so great.
Classic comedy, and Kristen Wiig is the American treasure. I've been so lucky.
Yes,
my last two
is.
Movies, Keanu Reeves and Cameron Diaz and Kristen Wiig and Bette Midler and Nathan Lane. I'm the luckiest guy, but it's going to be in theaters. Shout out Mike and Pam and Jesse at Warner Brothers. And we are trying to bring comedy movies back to the movies.
So
man, it's about time.
It's about time.
There haven't been enough comedy movies getting made, and I think it's about time, and I hope that you're like, I'm glad you're leaving.
I am dedicating till you guys make me stop.
Yeah, the break is over.
People laugh,
we want
dude,
more of you, more often, a higher frequency. Your break's over. Move back up from San Diego, or at least
that
get a
I'm not doing. But I promise to try and make a movie every year that's funny.
Please do.
Critics, do your best, you cocksuckers. And then I'm gonna make people laugh. So fuck y'all.
That's great. I love that.
We love you, buddy.
We love you.
Thank
Jonah.
You for joining us, Jonah Hill. Guys.
Jonah Hill.
Thank you. I hope that was okay. That was awesome. I love you, dude. I'm sorry I was like back.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
We gotta do the wrap up.
Sean, I find, is the most genuine, warmest, sincere, attentive friend I could ever ask to have.
That's a true story.
That's very nice.
Will has all of that and just happens to make me laugh more than anybody I've ever met in my life.
Yes.
Honest, thank you.
You're pretty funny, too.
Jason.
Take your time.
It's gonna take a minute.
To think of something?
You're so Jason, you know? Which is what we love about you. Jason is such a sweet boy.
This is awkward.
And no, it's
fast.
True.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
he's you've made such a great thing of yourself. You've really turned around. I mean, you kind of grew up in the woods and you got out and you're a beautiful person and And I give him shit. We give him shit for being so, you know, grumpy
careful,
and stuff.
Careful.
But he's so squishy on the inside.
Yes, yeah.
He is such a sweet boy.
Yes, I love you because you also are a genuinely kind person, mm-hmm. and you really think of other people. And you're grabbing my ass right now. Yeah. And you're one of the smartest people I've ever known in my entire life. And yes, you're squishy inside. This fella is also super squishy. The funniest person on the face of the planet. Both of them are. And I love you guys both.
I love you too. And I said, and Sean and I were texting last night about something. And you have those moments. What one of the great things is that about our friendship, and I don't know why we're doing this, but we love each other, and I think it's the age that we've gotten to where we can tell each other that we love each other.
Yeah.
And it feels really great to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And I said, Sean sent me a text last, we talked on the phone, and then he sent me a really lovely text afterwards.
And like Jason said, you cannot meet a person who is more consistently supportive and kind than Sean Hayes.
You can try.
And constantly. He checks in on everybody he loves. He's always so selfless, and it's unbelievable. And JB's the same. I feel very, very honored that we get to do that. You guys listen to us around.
I don't know if you guys get to work with your best friends. They are truly my two best friends. You guys let me work with them and have the greatest time of my life and talk to some of the most interesting people in the world. So we cannot thank you enough.
Yeah, we really, really appreciate it.
And we did.
I also want to say sorry, thank you to Bennett and to Rob and to Michael Granteri.
There's Rob. Rob Armyard. Rob, put your hand up. There's Bennett over there.
Yeah.
Rob, and where's Michael Terry?
Michael Terry somewhere.
Michael Terry is somewhere.
It is six of us, and our great partners at Sirius, but it is the six of us that make this thing happen, and so without them, we wouldn't have it.
And we didn't want to let another moment go.
Bye!
Bye!
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Bennett Barbaco, Michael Grant Terry, and Rob Armjarf.
Smartless.